You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. We have a passion for senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, and we share information from expert guests who can help us learn more about caring for our senior equids. In this episode, we're going to talk about vision loss in our senior horses with Dr. Ann Dwyer. I'm your host, Kim Brown, an editor for My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and much more. Our guest for this podcast episode is equine veterinarian Dr. Ann Dwyer. After earning her veterinary degree from Cornell, Dr. Dwyer practiced in the Genesee Valley Equine Clinic in Western New York from 1983 until her retirement in 2022. Throughout her career, she pursued a special interest in eye problems, publishing multiple papers and book chapters and lecturing internationally. In 2012, she was named an honorary member of the American College of Veterinary Ophthalmology. Also active in organized veterinary medicine, Dr. Dwyer served as president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners in 2013. She is currently vice chair of the advisory council for the Veterinary College at Cornell and is a member of the advisory board of the Flom Equine Institute at the University of Rochester School of Medicine. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Dwyer.
I am delighted to be here, and I'm so glad that you're bringing this podcast about care for senior horses to your listeners. It's a really important topic.
Well, you recently completed a book chapter on management of blind horses for what's considered the Bible of equine ophthalmology. It's called Gilger's Equine Ophthalmology. This is the fifth edition. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. This is a wonderful book, and it truly is a Bible because it weighs about 10 pounds in every edition. It's heavier and heavier. But I'll tell you about how this chapter came to be. When the very first edition of this book came out back in around 2004, I asked Dr. Gilger from North Carolina State, who was editing it, if I could include just a few paragraphs about blind horses in the chapter that he had assigned me on uveitis. And Dr. Gilger sort of had a flat forehead moment. He said, "Gosh, there really isn't very much about that. And there are a lot of blind horses in the world. Why don't we just do a whole standalone chapter?" So that's how this came to be. I wrote the chapter in addition to the one on uveitis. And it's now in its fifth iteration, which it'll come out next year. It's the main publication that's available in the veterinary literature about blind horses. But I wrote it for anyone to understand. If you don't have a medical training, don't worry. It's very, very readable for anybody.
And I can attest to that because as soon as she did the first one, I was reading it. So, yes. But let's go back. What are some of the causes of vision loss in older horses, and what causes are most common?
Well, our practice records suggest, I actually did a query as to how many blind horses we took care of in the couple thousand horses that I cared for before I retired. And our general practice found that about 1% of all the horses that we cared for lost vision in at least one eye over their lifetime. The incidence of bilateral or total blindness is a bit less, but it's still significant. And this is way higher than a lot of other species, certainly way higher than people. And that's because there is one really dominant cause of blindness, and that is a disease called uveitis. Horse owners may have heard of this disease as moon blindness, and it's really been documented since Roman times. And some of the cases are very slow and progressive, and they often have a hereditary disposition, especially in a breed like the Appaloosa. In some cases, we found out in the last 60 years or so that they're related to an environmental exposure to a bacteria called leptospirosis that affects, they get sick with that bacteria, but they throw it off, but later it affects the eye. And those horses often have very hot, acute flares of inflammation, recurrent damage, and this often robs horses of sight too. And there's some other causes, but those are the two main ones. Other things that can cause blindness include cataracts, but probably, I don't know, 75% or so of the ones that are blinding are also a secondary sequelae of uveitis. Mm. Glaucoma, that also is usually secondary to uveitis. But other somewhat rarer causes are infection. If you get a really bad corneal ulcer, especially with a fungus or sometimes with bacteria that doesn't respond to therapy, that can progress to vision loss, generally only in one eye, but it can happen. If a horse rears up and flips over backwards, this is a tragedy when we see this, because sometimes just that incident can damage their visual circuits inside their brain enough that they go acutely blind, like right then. And then sometimes they have eye trauma, something pierces their eye, and that robs them of their vision. And very rarely horses can get cancer in or on the eye, or they can get an issue affecting their optic nerve or their retina. But compared to uveitis, that is the definite predominant cause.
Well, can you help us understand some of the challenges of managing a vision impaired or blind horse and give us some tips on how to address those challenges? And I want to start because you mentioned Appaloosas and uveitis. So are there particular breeds or types of horses that are more at risk for vision loss?
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad for this opportunity to increase awareness of this, because in the last decade or so, a lot of research has been published that has actually found a genetic basis for this condition in certain breeds of horses. And it's usually the most common breeds that are at risk are the ones that have spots. Appaloosas are the breeds that we are familiar with most in this country, but there are some European breeds, most notably the Knabstruppers, which almost look like Dalmatians, that are at increased risk. And recently we have found that some, not all, but some lines of Icelandic horses have a slightly increased risk. There is some data suggesting that, again, certain lines of warm blood horses from Central Europe are at higher risk. And then, as I mentioned, cancer can be a rare cause of vision loss. And we have found out that both Haflingers, you know, they look like miniature Belgians, they're very much at risk for eye cancer, as well as certain breeds of draft horses. So it's just, you don't want to, all of those horses are great horses, but just be aware that there are some genetic tests that can increase your own awareness if you own one of those horses of their risk for eye diseases.
Well, how can an owner have their horse's vision status checked? I mean, is this something the veterinarian normally does annually, or do you have to request it?
Well, I have a strong opinion on that. I actually think all horses would really, really benefit from a brief eye examination by a veterinarian on an annual basis. I started eye exams on neonatal foals a day after they were born, and I did a full one. It only took 30 seconds or so to screen for the big things. And then I continued that through my patient's lifetime. This is not something where Dr. Google can help you very much in order to diagnose many of the conditions that are in horses' eyes. You need to have a veterinary examination, but it isn't a real complex one. 90% of the problems that we're going to talk about today can be diagnosed by the portable instruments that all veterinarians have. They're little black cases, and there's a bright light that looks into their eye. And it doesn't look like much, but actually those instruments are very similar to what are used in human offices when you get your own eyes examined. They're just portable. And nowadays, there are more and more vets like me who pursue special interest in equine eye problems. And in very horse-intense areas like Lexington, Kentucky, Ocala, California, and in some universities, there are actually board-certified specialists who have very extensive expertise in eye problems. And if I generally say once a year screening, not a fancy one, to me, it's just part of the physical exam. I just wouldn't not do it. But if a true problem is identified, then the veterinarian can decide if it's more appropriate to have a more frequent interval. You might want to check a cataract, I don't know, every 4 months or something like that if it's developing. And also, this is another thing that's happened. It's really easy nowadays for vets to take photos of not only the front, but believe it or not, the inside of horses' eye just with their cell phones. And that way they can compare what's happening to that eye over time, if it's getting better or worse. And the other thing that I do for my horses with problems is I will do sequential blindfold tests. These are really simple things. All you need is a barn aisle and a towel and a bucket of grain. But that allows me to check for vision loss over time.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Horses, I know their eye issues are considered emergencies. So if you see your horse squinting or they seem painful, but what does eye pain in the horse look like and how can veterinarians ease it?
Most of the time, it's pretty obvious. The eye is partly closed. They don't want it handled. The white part of the eye may look red, maybe tearing. If the eye surface itself is discolored, it might have areas that appear white, yellow, brown or blue, just anything that looks different is a cause for concern. And the severe cases, you're not going to miss. But I do want to tell your listeners that sometimes the signs are very subtle, like a slight downward tilt of the eyelashes, really hard to tell unless you compare the two eyes. And sometimes horses that are really losing vision won't show any outward signs at all. This is particularly the Appaloosas and the spotted breeds. And the only way to determine if something's going on is an exam by a vet. There's plenty of medications that probably will mitigate pain somewhat, but this is not something to go being your own druggist. Butbantamine, Equiox may be prescribed, but these problems can progress quickly, and you don't want to just use old eye ointments that are in your medicine chest without having a problem looked at, because a lot of the medications that get prescribed topically can make some problems much, much worse.
So how does a horse adapt to vision loss, whether it occurs gradually or suddenly, and is there a difference?
The ones that are losing vision gradually are going to have a chance to adapt. So they will have less overt signs of being startled when they can't see anymore. But even so, when the lights really go out, it is a big change for them. But many of them adapt really well. The adaptation period generally takes a few days to a few weeks. It's more like days when they've been losing their vision gradually, and weeks if it's more acute. And during this time, the behavior will be unpredictable. I mean, it's just common sense. The horse might run into things. They might have a head tilt. They're uncertain, spooky. They might circle, freeze in place, neigh, act anxious. And an owner just has to, again, use common sense. They have to adapt. You should know that their herd behavior will change. If they're used to going out in a herd of horses, you should stop that, because the herd knows and the herd will sort of reject the blind horse and may injure it. They may not allow it access to food. So it's much better to actually support that horse with a calm environment and a safe, quiet enclosure away from the herd. a single quiet sighted companion can help. There's a lot about that in the chapter, which we're going to later on in this podcast tell all your listeners how they can download an earlier version of the chapter themselves. And there's a picture in there of a companion horse with a bell on its halter, and that's a helpful thing to do. They're going to be settled by routine and quiet handling, and the horses should not undergo any training during their adaptation time. You should just make life as easy as possible. During adaptation, their intact senses, especially sound and touch, will be basically rerouting connections in their brain, and they will over time appear enhanced. And the other thing that's just amazing to watch is that well-adapted horses will develop a mental map of their environment. They're often mistaken for sighted horses because you'll see them galloping across a pasture, just like a sighted horse, and then stop a little bit short of the fence. I mean, they know their environment. However, I do want to caution that horses who had nervous, anxious temperaments to begin with, who become blind, some of those never adapt and become dangerous. And those are horses that hard decisions generally have to be made for.
And how can they meet their needs, and what's the decision process? Because as you said, if a horse is going to be a danger to itself or other horses or the humans around it, or even, you know, crash and burn in a paddock, like you said, one that's running full out and doesn't know the fence is there.
Blind proof the environment. You need to make sure that the stalls are free of hazards, even things like running your hands over all the boards and making sure there aren't nails or pieces of wire sticking out. Safe fencing. Generally, it's not advised to have barbed wire or a single strand electric wire. You want to have some kind of a solid barrier. They will learn to avoid it, but you can get into a lot of trouble if they don't know it's there and it's something that can break if they run into it. Obviously, just reducing spooky stimuli. You want to post signage that there's a blind horse here so that visitors are warned appropriately. Once they're fully adapted, it's a good idea to train them to do all the things that again, are common sense. Even if you don't plan on trailering them anywhere, it's a good thing to train them how to go in and out of a trailer, maybe take them for a ride in case you had to move the horse or get it to a vet or something. And our podcast isn't long enough to give you all the tips that I have, but your listeners will hear about this chapter, which I say I'm delighted is available as a free download. And it's got pictures and all kinds of things that'll give you tips on how to manage your horse.
Well, one thing that I think people are interested in is we see a lot of videos on Facebook and other places of the buddy horse. The horse you talked about had the bell under its halter or on a collar or whatever. How does that work for these blind horses?
Well, amazingly well, if you, again, use common sense and choose an appropriate buddy. And any good horseman will be able to observe how horses act around each other and get some inkling as to whether this is a nice, quiet horse that's a good potential buddy or maybe too nervous to be tried. I will tell you that there is a big range, but the one common denominator is that all of them seem to have fairly quiet temperaments. It's not uncommon for people to pair a full-sized horse with a mini or a pony. And often that's a good choice from an economic standpoint, just because it's cheaper to keep a little mini. They sometimes aren't as quiet as the big ones, but they can't get into quite as much trouble. And I will tell you that once a bond is established, it will be like they're like blood brothers. It's amazing. They will stay together. The guide horse may seem to understand its role. And I've seen them appear to lead the blind horse through the gates, help it get food. I mean, it's just really strong. And then some of the sanctuaries that house blind horses, and there are some of those in the world, have paired two or three blind horses together with no sighted horse around, and find that, I don't know, it's like three blind mice. They all figure it out, and they make wonderful, they know their environment and they're happy together and there's no problems.
Well, can a horse that's either blind or missing one eye or have some vision loss be ridden or used?
I'll cover that in two scenarios. One is a horse that has one eye, but has, let's hopefully, normal vision in the other eye. And the other is bilaterally blind horses, or horses that are very, very compromised in their vision. The one-eyed horses are really common in the world. And I'm here to tell you that they can really do just about anything. And sports records will affirm that. There have been one-eyed horses in the Kentucky Derby. There was one just a couple of years ago. They can work in therapy programs, all kinds of things. And we don't really know that much specific about equine vision. You'd think that if half their visual field was gone, their judgment might be impaired. But all I can tell you is that they don't seem to be impaired at all when judging jumps or other obstacles to negotiate. The one thing your listeners should know is that high-level polo does ban horses that are blind in one eye, but college doesn't. So lots of times if a polo horse loses vision in one eye, they'll donate it to a college team, and they also seem to play college polo just fine. Horses with complete blindness are a really, really interesting group. Many of them are kept as pasture pets, and they're adored by their owners, but they're not ridden. But there are records of a number of horses that are ridden, often to pretty high levels, by their owners. And as a veterinarian, I always had to be aware of liability and safety issues, so it wasn't the kind of thing I can really give advice about. But I could refer my clients to what's out there as far as documenting the horses that are athletes and highly trained individuals that are completely blind. And some of them are not only blind, but they're missing both eyes. So there's no question they can't see. I will say that this requires a lot of skill on the training part, a lot of patience, and a high degree of commitment. But some of the results have been extraordinary. And sadly, just a couple of months ago, the world lost the most famous blind horse that I think has ever been. His name was Endo the Blind. You can find him on Facebook. He recently passed away, but he was well into his 20s. And his website, his owner, his trainer owner, was highly skilled. I mean, that horse would do anything, obstacles, even jumped, trail riding, and she documented his whole life with very good videos. His website had 500,000 followers. Other horses that have been totally blind have been used for dressage, trail riding, Western events, all kinds of things. And again, my chapter has examples of this. So they're also a wonderful inspiration. And anybody who has an older blind horse, this might be interesting to you. They're a wonderful inspiration for children and adults who are struggling with some kind of disability. It convinces them when they meet an animal that has an obvious disability, they recognize more that it's ability that counts. And there's a horse named Gideon in the chapter that you can download. And there's another one called Fredge in the more recent chapters that are examples of that. And there's lots of ground training tips that are in the chapter. A little bit too much for us to go into here, but I explain in the chapter about positive reinforcement training methods that trainers use for blind horses as well as sighted ones.
Well, and we've been kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, there is some assistance to help with managing visually impaired or blind horses. And in the article that goes with this podcast on myseniorhorse.com, we're going to include the link to the resource that you can download that Dr. Dwyer has been talking about. But I'm going to let you talk just a little bit more about that because it's quite extensive and offers a lot of good information.
Yeah, I have to give a little shout out to a rescue organization that now is in New Hampshire. It used to be in Montana, and they paid the publisher a fee in order to make this resource available to the public. And they still maintain an animal sanctuary in New Hampshire, but I think they've gone away from blind horses and more towards smaller animals. But they were wonderful in terms of establishing this. And there's a resources page on this website that has, like I say, a downloadable version of the article. It's just called Management of Blind Horses. It's now about 10 years old, but it really has all the essential information that any horse owner, whether you own a young horse or an old horse that has vision loss, it's all the essential information that you need. However, if you really want the latest and greatest, the fifth edition, with the fifth edition also of this chapter, is being finished up right now for publication. It does have a few updates to what you can download for free regarding training and the neuroscience of adaptation. So if you're really enthusiastic about this, you'll be able to buy it on Amazon next year for about $200. But I will warn you that the rest of this 10-pound heavy Bible is very technical and written for veterinarians. Sometimes you can obtain editions of Gilger's Equine Ophthalmology in used form much cheaper on Amazon or other types of websites.
And is there anything else you'd like to add about managing visually impaired or blind horses?
Yeah, I have something I really, really feel strongly about, and it's something I had to learn as a practitioner. When I started pursuing an interest in equine ophthalmology, I used to occasionally have to take an eye out of a horse for an obvious reason, a cancer or a rupture or something like that. And I always did it under general anesthesia, and it was wasn't a major operation, but anything with general anesthesia is kind of a big deal. But then over time, the discipline figured out how to take eyes out of horses without putting them under general anesthesia. Basically, kind of like when you have dental work done and your whole side of your they can do amazing things, implants and things like that with just local anesthesia. We now know how to do that in horses, and most veterinarians that remove eyes do that. I've done close to 200, I believe. And I am a full believer that chronically painful eyes should be removed. And lots of general practitioners now offer enucleations in their clinics or at farms. It's just a standing sedated procedure. It can be done in less than 90 minutes. It's very safe, but it has enormous welfare benefits for the horse. Recovery is quick. Complications are few. And I can guarantee that the horse with pain will thank you. I saw horses with nasty temperaments that I just thought were nasty horses. And if they'd have a painful eye removed, they just became sweet as pie. So that's telling me that they really, really were painful. So I'm a big promoter of enucleation. Not every blind eye should be removed. Some of them are perfectly comfortable. But if it's a painful one, I really advocate for that.
Well, thank you for joining us today on this podcast, Dr. Dwyer, and talking about this important management challenge.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for this opportunity to teach horse owners a little bit more about vision loss. And my clients who have chosen to keep and train blind horses really have valued the bond they've developed with their equine partners.
And for our listeners, we encourage you to sign up today for our weekly newsletter to be the first to get information from My Senior Horse. And if you have topics about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed on this podcast or covered for the content of the website, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter kbrown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.